everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. My favorite memory of my mother is her chasing me down the driveway as I'm backing out, going to Temple University, my first day of school. She's still in her house coat screaming, "Take pre-med, you can always switch."
I love that.
Yeah,
you can. I love the house code analogy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's old enough to know what a house code is. I know what one is.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sell or Die, America's premier personal development and sales podcast. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Hey, everyone, what's up? We are glad you are here.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here too,
Jeffrey.
No, no,
I was glad first.
All right. Well, today we have a very special guest. I'm really excited about this one. This was a great interview.
Yeah. I forget who it was.
What? No, you don't. It was Dave Meltzer.
Oh,
CEO of Sports One Marketing, and he's worked for some of the best in sports and real estate. And you're going to find out how he has managed to adapt and change with the times, but not only adapt and change, but grow and become this unbelievably amazing human being who will inspire the hell out of you.
Yeah, he was one of the first agents and ended up not doing the right thing all the time. I'm going to let him tell the story, but I will tell you this. There are very few people that have able to go to the top, go to the bottom, and go back up to the top again, and do it in a way that is not just inspiring. It is literally life-changing. This guy's amazing. So
it's like losing your 20 pounds, gaining it back, and then losing it and keeping it off.
Ooh.
Or losing 40 in that shape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm going to just go for 30 if I may.
But anyway, Dave is amazing. Before we get into it.
Yeah.
This has been an unbelievable week.
The economy is booming, and the phone is ringing, and people are spending, and it's just absolutely amazing what's going on.
Now, if you're listening right now, sitting in your car, sitting at a coffee shop, going on your walk, whatever you're doing while you listen, and thinking, maybe the economy is booming for you, Jeffrey, but it's not booming for me, then it sounds like you might need a little sales help.
Yeah, and we can give it to you, but you might want to start by giving something to yourself.
Hmm.
If your sales are not up, I can promise you there's two things that are going on. Number one, you're wasting your time at night. And number two, you're wasting your time in the morning. There may be a point five that you're wasting your time in the middle. But I think that you need to put yourself in a winning position in order to win.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't go to work and get there, quote, on time. You can't go through the same old bullshit that everybody else goes to. Oh, what happened yesterday? Oh, you went out dancing last night? Yeah, it's hump day. Huh? So I would look at it from the perspective of what is your mindset on achievement? What is your mindset on making more sales by helping more customers? And those are the things that you really have to think about. And it ain't easy. because you may hate your boss. You may not particularly like your job. You may be looking for something else, or you may have a diversion, also known as a side hustle.
The way I like to think about it is two words, impact and income. How much income do you want to make this year, and what kind of impact does that mean you'll have on your customers?
These are my two words.
What?
These are my two words.
No, they're not.
Get to fucking work. Those are my two words.
Oh, okay. Well, impact and income. And so if you can figure out and work backwards on this, but if you can figure out how much income do you want to make this year and how many people or whatever it is you're servicing, how many things can you service? What's your impact going to be? You're going to be able to put together a plan to achieve that.
The working backwards formula is very easy. If it takes you 4 appointments to make 1 sale and you need 2 sales a day, you need 8 appointments. If it takes you—
And if you're an overachiever, you might want to go for 10 because you never know.
But the bottom line is your numbers are your guide.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes you 4 calls to make 1 appointment and you want 8 appointments, then you need 32 phone calls. And there's no getting around that. There are no shortcuts in those numbers.
So we have a 5-star review.
Oh.
Nada. Who's up?
Investor wrote in today and he said, I wish every podcast was as good as Sell or Die.
You know, we're glad they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
We love Suckfish podcasts.
Oh, gosh.
Jeffrey provides valuable content on every show. I have been a customer of his for 15 years and will continue to do so.
All right. Are you ready for Dave Meltzer?
I am totally ready for Dave Meltzer. In fact, I'm going to intro Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is a man of many hats. Not only was he a famous agent and one of the first famous agents working for the great Lee Steinberg of Steinberg Sports, but Dave was also CEO of a company that launched the first cell phone. Think about that. The PCEONE. It's the PC1. He's currently the CEO of Sports One Marketing, and he's carved out some time for us here on Sell or Die. Diehards, please say hello to the great Dave Meltzer. Tell me about what interested you when you first realized that there was a living to be made in sales, marketing, and negotiation.
It was at a very young age, by necessity. I started realizing the easiest way to make money was to buy low and sell high. And I was born with a gift to share a vision. My mom called it, I could sell ice to Eskimos. I wasn't the greatest student in the world. I think as intelligent as my siblings who all went to the Ivy Leagues, but I was born to sell. In fact, when I got my job out of law school in sales, the way that I became a millionaire 9 months out of law school, the reason they hired me was I had all these little things on my resume that no one else had. For example, when I was in law school, I sold shoes from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Roadrunner Sports, incoming sales, telephone sales. I had in college to make extra money while I was playing football, I sold educational system, which was basically the old word for encyclopedias.
Mm-hmm. And so did I. But I failed at it miserably, by the way. That was my first sales failure.
And I wanted to be a real lawyer, but I had a mentor, a professor at Tulane who wrote the Louisiana Treaties, the Civil Code, extremely wealthy man, tell me, you are born for sales and that's where you're going to make your money. And he was right.
Are you pals with Brandon Steiner?
Yes, I am friends with you. Just in my office for his new book, and I've known Brandon for years.
Yeah, he's like he literally is a Jewish brother from a different mother.
I want to be your Jewish brother from another mother.
More than happy, you can spend a day here and shoot the breeze about how to turn a nickel into a quarter.
Yeah, all Yankee fans should be friends with Brandon Steiner, I'll tell you that.
Oh, for man. Sure.
Yeah, he definitely bleeds pinstripes.
Yeah.
In fact, he'll bust my balls all the time when the Eagles are playing anybody or the Phillies are playing anybody. I'll get a text from him busting my balls about something or another. But, you know, the bottom line is he's a great sports fan. And like you, he was an immaculate hustler.
Yeah. And he still is, which is what I love about him. You know, it's in your blood. And the difference is shifting the paradigm of value, where when I first started selling, I did it out of skill and technique. And I called it overselling, back-end selling, manipulation, and even lying. You know, that's the way I sold when I was young. I think the majority of salespeople, whether you're selling houses, cars, insurance, I see a lot of manipulation going on because you have the situational knowledge to take advantage of the subtleties of what you're selling. Mm-hmm. My life changed when I shifted the paradigm of value and started trusting the fact that I could share a vision of value and perform on that value. It truly, you know, I had to lose everything, by the way, to have this great epiphany. But I learned to be of service, and it's not really a common thing within sales to be of service. And the greatest prayer I say is, you know, every morning, may God put 10 people in front of me that I can help. And I believe that's truly selling.
No argument with that. We're familiar with some of your story. And you, when you have Warren Moon on your side, he's a pretty good guy.
Oh, yeah. He's like Dr. J, and both of them just touched my heart at different times in my life. And you know, people don't realize how much those types of people do for other people.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So I want to back up for a second because we are really familiar with your story, but I don't know how much our diehards know. And you've sort of hinted at it a little bit in terms of you grew up poor. And then by 27, after you graduated law school, you became a millionaire.
Yeah, there's a couple of things in the middle there.
25. I was a millionaire at 25.
Cool.
Man, wow. Okay, so you're a millionaire.
Wait a minute. I was close. I was a thousandaire.
Okay,
well, you know, you're a little older. That might be equal to the million. That
you know what?
Was like a backhanded compliment.
Dave, I'm actually a lot older, but we'll go into that later.
All right, so wait a minute. Back up. How did you become a millionaire by age 25?
I manifested it. I grew up, all I wanted to do was buy my mom a house and a car.
Cool.
And
I stayed laser focused on it. And I made one critical decision against that doctor, lawyer, or failure mentality of my mom. I did everything my mom asked me to do out of Jewish guilt. She sacrificed so much. She had guilted all her children right into the Ivy Leagues and guilted me into millionaireism. But when I graduated law school, I had two job offers, one to be a oil and gas litigator, which was going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Also, the other was to sell legal research online. And I swear to God, I asked my mom what I should do. And without blinking, she said, and I got the but they need to be a real lawyer. Because this internet thing is a fad. Oh. She literally. I didn't listen to her, you know. And 9 months later, I bought her a house. I bought her a car. I paid off my law loans, and I bought myself a big screen TV. Back then, they were $8,000 a big screen TV. Oh. Yeah. I remember the price.
Now they're $80.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Much nicer.
Exactly. Better picture.
And they were so thick. You needed to like really get someone in there to mount them up.
It was not even thick. This thing was a piece of furniture. It took like five people to carry it. It was a piece of furniture.
Okay, so then you alluded to the fact that you lost everything and changed your selling ways. So tell us more about that.
You know, I started branding myself a technology person. I got involved in the Silicon Valley and investing, and at 32 ended up to be the CEO of the world's first smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so I worked in internet. I worked in middleware with transcode internet, and then I worked in the hardware side, Samsung's first Windows CE device called the PCE phone. I now was a multimillionaire. And I remember building my huge home. I had a Ferrari, a Porsche, a boat, a motorhome, everything but an airplane. And I could bought one if I wanted. And I was, for the first time in my life, unhappy. I surrounded myself with all the wrong people, the wrong ideas. I started buying my own bullshit. And thank goodness my wife was there. I get choked up thinking about it. But, you know, my wife saved my life, basically kicked my butt, told me to go back and take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And that book that you held up, that Connected to Goodness book, is an outline, 7 principles with 4 key elements of how to take what you want and become inspired again your why, and then how. The difference is, like Napoleon Hill, I believe in all the woo-woo bullshit that everyone's afraid of, the manifestation. I believe wholeheartedly in that, but I also am an old school, hard-selling, pragmatic business person who believes in discipline, strategy, and awareness. And I wake up at 4 a.m. every day, and I try to stay awake till 11, use all my energy. But what I learned through a 2-year process of losing over $100 million was that there was more to life than taking. And it was a very simple lesson, which I now teach millions of people about how to shift the paradigm of value, how to simply trust the universe. If you can provide more value than you're asking for, who won't say yes to you?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And everyone will. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Everyone and that's the basis of how I live.
When I was reading your stuff, actually, I was given your dossier by a real dossier by Zach Krupp, a millennial who is working for us, and the kid is just on fire and loves you. And he said, this guy, he has the same philosophy that you do. We have to get this guy on the show. Because my philosophy consists of, I give value first. Mm-hmm. I help other people. I strive to be my best at what I love to do. I establish long-term relationships with everyone, and I have fun, and I do that every day. And when you have a philosophy like that, you don't have the philosophy, you live the philosophy.
Yeah.
And when you begin to live it, then it begins to pay you in ways that you could never have imagined.
So, right, make a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Exactly. You just said, and the only difference I have, nuances I've learned about receivership. I think it's really important through that process that you have to learn to receive. And receivership to me means allowing things to come to me, adding value to them, which is appreciation through gratitude, mm-hmm. add value, and then give it away. What happened was everything, I was very much an optimist. Everything was happening, you know, for me, not to me as a victim, but for me. And there's only so much of me. But when I learned to be in receivership, that everything was coming through me for the benefit of others, I started to expand. And the amount of money, the amount of abundance, the amount of inspiration that comes through me every day is extraordinary. And it continues to grow with all the confidence and happiness and joy that I ever imagined. And I can empower others with the same.
So my dad's advice to me when I was growing up was, son, first get the money, then figure out what you got to do.
I love that.
And it was typical of those times. Mm-hmm. And he didn't say first earn the money, which is what I figured out you had to do. But I had to get to 60 before I figured that out. Actually, 50. But the bottom line was for me that if I put enough value into the marketplace, then the world paid me back. And as you know, the world pays you back tremendously if you have the skills and the content to be able to take advantage of it.
I agree. There's another little nuance, which is people think that money buys happiness. And there's this real subtlety. I learned a valuable lesson. Money does not buy happiness, but it's very important because it allows you to go shopping. And what shopping makes you happy, yeah. Shopping for whatever you want to give money. You know, I built 2 community centers in Africa. That's shopping. I'm shopping for the right things now. When I was shopping for the wrong things, it didn't make me happy. So I think people need to clearly define the fact that money's a great thing. It's an energy in which you can do extraordinary. Look at Warren Buffett, change the world. Yeah. But you got to learn to shop for the right things. Mm.
So my dad said, son, people think that money is knowledge and power when actually all money is good seats.
That's a Yankee fan. Was your dad a Yankee fan?
He must have been.
Yeah, you know, I coached their sales team, the New York Yankee sales team. It's $1,600 for one seat in that Legends area.
The Legends seats.
So if you take a buddy, it's $3,200. Now, you don't have to buy hot dogs. But if you want season tickets, that's $250,000.
But the food is so freaking good. Oh, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
How about this? I share my Lakers seats with Diane Cannon.
Oh, cool. I love her.
She's the hottest 82-year-old woman in the world. Check her out. She's amazing. But our seats are $3,500 a game.
Oh, my God.
And we don't get food.
What?
But I get to sit next to LeBron James and Magic Johnson sometimes.
All right. Well, then that's cool.
There's something about LeBron James that's so attractive.
Oh.
Because he's, first of all, he's the athlete of this century. Second of all, I don't compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. I compare LeBron to Wilt. Because Wilt could do anything on the basketball court and no one could stop him. And LeBron is exactly the same.
A great point. He is an extraordinary athlete. And you know, people don't, I think, understand what it's like to be born with all those gifts, but have a Rudy type work ethic. He really carries an energy like he's Rudy Rudiger.
Exactly.
So talking about work ethic, you talk about exponential results. Can you break this down for us and give us some background on it?
Yeah. So, you know, and it's evolved since I wrote my book. You know, I looked at the efficiencies, effectiveness, and statistical success that I was doing. I actually study my calendar for productivity and accessibility. How productive am I? How much am I producing value? And then how accessible not only am I to others, but how am I accessing what I want? And what I realized was the key to life was the enjoyment of the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of my potential. And the consistency was extraordinary for the exponential result. What happens is, I'm going to use dieting as an example. All these people diet. And this is what they do. They diet for like 6 days, and then they go to Geno's for a cheesesteak. Right. and then they diet another 7 days, and they eat, you know, some
ice cream sundae. Right,
Sunday. Then another 6 days, and they, you know, get a burger or in fries. Well, at the end of the month, they look back and their mind's telling them that I dieted all month. Because I only cheated 3 times. But they look at the scale and it's either equal to or greater than what they started with compared to the person who dieted every day, did something that they could do every day. They actually lowered the bar, but they did it every day. If you miss a day without the focus, the clarity, balance, and focus, you actually can't get the exponential result. If you it zeros it out. I call it a zero effect. So it's 1 × 2 × 3 × 4 × 5 × 6 × 0.
Right.
If you continue on, you get the permeation of 31 in a month, and you wonder why, wow, I just lost 10 pounds, and I didn't starve myself, but I did it every day, and I stuck to it.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
Are there things that you do on a consistent basis that you can give us an example of?
Yeah, well, number one, being a student of my calendar has changed my life. And I don't look at my calendar. I study my calendar exactly for that productivity and accessibility, not only of what I'm doing in person on the phone via email and media, but moreover, I study the white space of my calendar. Most people don't realize how important the white space, the blank spots in your calendar are. That's where the true exponential results comes, the productivity and accessibility that nobody else does. They see it as a break. I see it as an opportunity. The other second thing that I do is something called do it now. I came up with a complete math equation of, wow, if I have the opportunity to do something now, I save minimum twice as much time, and I'm statistically more successful 100% of the time. So my mind is going, if you ask me, Dave, can you introduce me to Brandon Steiner? I actually may, during the interview, text Brandon Steiner.
Exactly.
I can do it now, I have no chance of forgetting, and it's over with. You can see if I don't, what happens?
Yeah, you're going to forget, or 3 days later, you're going to go, shit, I never did that.
Right.
I want to challenge you in thinking, because each of us feels like we have original thinking. And I was always a big what happens in the white space person. What are you doing when it's your own time? And then I read a book by Orison Swett Marden, and one of the quotes was, never underestimate the value of spare minutes. And that was written in 1908.
Yeah.
So it's not new. It's how you take advantage of it. And if you're a student of it, you're going to take advantage of it. And I think that has brought you immense value.
I don't know anyone that studies it. I mean, I think that's incredible. Most people don't even know what to do when that time comes up, you know?
Yeah, right.
I was looking at our calendars the other day, and I told Stacy, who books all of our meetings, I said, and your daughter, I said, looking for the blank times is like looking for a Swiss cheese and trying to find the holes. There aren't enough.
Yeah, well, live in a world of more than enough, and there'll be more than enough, right?
Yeah, we have to create it. That's the thing.
And I study history. We talk about going back. There's no original thought, which I truly believe that everything comes through me. And that's where my genius comes from, is the ability to allow things. But I study history, and my mom told me this piece of advice. She said, you got to study history. I said, well, you know, why? You told me to put faith in the future, not in the past, mom. She would always say, don't stumble over the roadblocks behind us. But then she would tell me to study history. And the reason was, she said, human nature never changes. And if you can understand human nature, you'll never starve. And that held so true. So I study The Course in Miracles, Napoleon Hill. You know, I study the great classics. And I will tell you, anyone has not read Think and Grow Rich and doesn't look at Napoleon Hill in business or sales, you are missing the boat.
We're sending you this book autographed. It's Napoleon Hill's Truthful Living. It's not autographed by Hill, but I was given the privilege of editing and annotating his first writings from 1917. And you'll have it in a couple of days. It takes longer to get to California. I don't think they deliver the mail there anymore, do they?
I will send you back. They just released the Napoleon Hill Legacy book, and I was blessed to be included in that and the movie. So I'll send you that right back and see what you think.
Cool.
Fair trade.
Talk to me about you're in with an athlete and you're negotiating a contract, and the athlete's kind of a dick, which I know can never happen.
Not in my business. I will tell you the rule that Lee Steinberg taught me, the great sports agent, Jerry Maguire. You know, number one, don't negotiate to the last penny. Two, always be fair. And three, don't do business with dicks.
So
if my client's a dick, it's the last time I go in there to negotiate, because life is too short.
Agreed.
And so am I. But I literally will not, on either side, I won't do business that way anymore. I used to do business that way. That's how I lost everything. I thought it was okay to surround myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas.
Because you were smarter than all of them, correct?
Of course. My ego told me I was superior. But more importantly, too, I learned that giving back. So we always require every client to have a charitable purpose or cause tied to. That's the qualifier. Because if they truly are dedicated to a purpose, a higher purpose, one of giving back, they're not a dick.
Agreed.
True. And you're going to keep your clients a lot longer.
Jennifer and I took a boat ride in Amsterdam with a crew of Canadians who had come into the country to deliver these boat rides. And the guy started out by saying, Amsterdam's the greatest place in the world. You can do anything you want. Just don't be a dick.
He's like,
that's why I love
they
Amsterdam.
Have one rule here.
It's their
don't
only
be
rule.
A dick.
I wish that was on our flag.
Exactly.
Or on their license plates.
You know, that don't tread on me.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
That's funny.
And growing up, like we grew up, Jen and I grew up in New Jersey. I grew up in Philly and sold for years in New York City. It's their way of life.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a book, McGraw-Hill. My next book is called Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Oh, so cool.
You have nailed the topic. It's such a good title. I was writing it. So many people would stop me and say, is that your book? Right? They'd stop me on my computer. Whose book is that? I want to buy that. I hope the book's as good as the title.
Don't worry about it. The book will sell because of the title.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All you need are a couple of good sound bites within it, and you'll make royalties forever.
I find that the people who are assholes end up taking up so much more of your time anyway that they're so not worth it. Like, I have removed everyone that we work with, maybe except one, that are dicks.
Well, I've described it as 5% of the people you do business with are 95% of your problems.
You're exactly right.
And you already know who they are.
And you do, yeah. Yeah.
I think the same thing holds true about trying to convince people that can't be convinced, right? I see that a huge problem. I have a 3-no rule, right? In sales and in life, that, and it's not even the person telling me no. If the universe tells me, like, I miss a meeting because of an emergency, or they don't call me, whatever. On the third one, I always say, look, obviously this wasn't meant to be at this time. If you still are willing or want to do business with me, go ahead and give me a call. But I have too many people, that 95%, mm-hmm. that I am doing business efficiently, effectively, with statistical success. And 50% of the time, that business comes to me, and 50% of the time I never hear back, which I consider I've just saved myself
exactly,
a ton of time.
Exactly.
It's a blessing.
Okay, so I love all the woo. How did you pick up on it, and where did it, when did it enter your life?
Yeah, so my mom started it. I didn't listen. My wife continued it. I didn't listen. My wife and mom, they had a theme for Dave Meltzer, as I was this arrogant asshole millionaire kid. They would say, he's lost.
The one day you watched Ric Flair wrestle,
oh, no.
and that's where the woo came from.
Yeah. No, I was on an airplane and to India. I had some developers in India, and this tiny little woman next to me literally looked at me and said, are you okay? And in my mind, the first thing I thought of was, do you know who I am? That's literally what I thought. And so, of course, I said, yeah, I'm okay. In my mind, I'm a millionaire. Of course I'm okay. And she said, oh, really? She said, you're so full of light, but you're blocking it. I roll my eyes and I look at her. I go, what are you talking about? She said, do you meditate? And I literally gave a diatribe of meditate. No, my wife, my mom, they sit at home and meditate. People get high on their couch, are sick and poor. They meditate. I'm a millionaire. I own a Ferrari. I grew up with nothing. I've done it all myself. Who has time to meditate? And she looked at me and said, oh, that's too bad, because I could teach you to vibrate faster. That's literally what
Whoa.
She said.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, it rocked me, though. I'm like, I don't mean to be rude, but what does that have to do with meditation? And she said to me and changed my life, you know that everything vibrates. The earth vibrates the slowest, plants, animals, humans, sound, light, then thought. And this is where she shook me. She said, do you know what vibrates the fastest? And I said, no. And she said, the truth vibrates the fastest. And you only can be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. I can teach you to increase your vibration and awareness to the truth. Does that interest you? And I got goosebumps, and I almost cried, because I was so untruthful. I was not living in my truth. I was not pursuing my truth. I was empty and shallow, and I didn't get it. And I was lost, just like my mom and my wife was telling me. And I stayed for a workshop to learn theta meditation for 4 days, because it struck me. And that's where my journey started.
That's so classic.
By the way, yeah. I didn't know the answer to the yeah. question when I asked it, but I'm so glad I did. That is unbelievable.
If you don't believe in God, you have to look at who your seatmate is.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. That's funny. And I've meditated ever since, 20 minutes a day.
That's incredible.
Is it automatic timed now? Do you know what it is, or do you set a timer?
I wake up at 4 a.m. without timer, at 7 a.m. on the East Coast. I keep my time. I also, one other piece of advice that changed my life, I look at my activity, 24 hours of activity, with the lens of productivity and accessibility, but I look at it as I have activity I get paid for, and I get activity I don't get paid for. There's no work in my body. I try to maximize my activity to get paid, but sleep, people don't. 8 hours a day, most people sleep, and they never study it. They never practice it. They don't do anything with the most important hours, in my opinion, so you can be as productive and accessible. So I have hired sleep doctors. I have gone for analysis with nodes all over me. I practice sleep. I study sleep. And I use my sleep as productive, accessible time, not some waste of space.
Cool.
And most people don't sleep peacefully either. They go to sleep yeah. with all kinds of crap on their mind, and they
are there sleep tips that you've learned or sleep
oh, yeah.
strategies?
So, you know, energy of sleep. So 67 degrees is the healthiest temperature to sleep in. Darkness, you want to be in complete darkness. You never want to have your brain, study in the bed. You don't want to do anything, as my Russian grandfather said, other than sleeping and schnooping.
Smart guy.
That's why you got to buy the best bed you can find. You need one great partner in life. You need one great job that you love, and you need a great bed. Those are the three things to be happy.
Cool.
What do you do when the dogs jump up in the bed?
Yeah, they're caged now.
Ours have little steps to get up so they can let themselves up
that.
And down.
I did. I did that on the first dog I learned. No dogs in the bed.
They're so cute. How do you say no?
I can't say no. That's why they're not allowed in the bed.
When is your new book scheduled to come out?
So actually the next book to come out, I wrote one with Jack Canfield for charity called Unstoppable, Creating the Life That You Love. Mm-hmm. And so that just released. The next book from McGraw-Hill is the business strategies books from the greatest minds in sports and business. And the next book after that comes out in September. The next one will be early in next year, which is Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Cool.
Well, so we will have you on the show. We only get about 100,000 downloads a month, but we're shooting for 250.
That's awesome.
And we will be promoting the living hell out of your book to make sure that people buy it, because it's going to contain the one thing people need but don't have: common sense.
Well, I give my book that you held there. I don't sell it. Anyone that DMs me or reaches out to me, not only will I give you that book, but I also will pay for shipping.
So, wow. Well, I would love a signed copy.
All right.
We'll arrange it.
Address.
We'll arrange it.
All right, sure. I'm going to follow you on Instagram now.
At David Meltzer. Follow me.
All right, cool. Where else should people go to find you?
DMeltzer.com, first initial, last name. They can always Google me, but Twitter's David Meltzer, at David Meltzer. That name holds strong. Just don't confuse me with Dave Meltzer, who's the World Wrestling Federation guy. That is not me.
All right. We'll link you up in our show notes. It's all good.
We will. I'll tell you what you can do to get the title. One of our house guests on a regular basis is Nikita Koloff, the former Russian nightmare. And you can challenge him to a match. And you can become David Meltzer world champion as opposed to Dave Meltzer world champion.
There you go.
I don't know whether you know this or not, but outcomes in professional wrestling are predetermined.
I was with Hulk Hogan and Joe Osteen, by the way, 2 weekends ago. Okay. And Hulk could barely walk. And he told me, wrestling is not fake. It's just predetermined.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. The outcomes are predetermined, but you have to be prepared to get into the squared circle with your opponent, or you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to meet up in Jersey. I have an event with Jimmy Hart, Hulk Hogan, and a couple other old wrestlers.
Cool.
To be on my podcast, The Playbook, in March.
I'll bring Nick. I'll bring Nikita. They can have it out right there.
Awesome.
He never liked Jimmy
it.
Hart. That's a classic.
It's all a show.
So it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, this was
total
awesome.
Total pleasure to talk to you. We're very grateful for the opportunity, and we will return same in kind. Maybe I'm not a sports guy, but I've been to 1,000 sporting events in Philadelphia, and I think the claim to fame is that I have never been to a sporting event where there wasn't a fight in the stands.
Then you must be going in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. I was at the first game where they booed Santa Claus.
That's awesome. And batteries at them. It was
yep.
perfect.
Batteries, snowballs, you name it. Whatever's in their hands, they'll throw at them, including beer if you're wearing the opposing jerseys.
Team's jersey, yeah, of course. Well, I really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon and coming to visit
cool.
you as well.
For sure, that
cool.
would be great.
Thanks for your time
thank
today.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Enjoy.
All
cheers.
Right. Bye.
Cheers.
I loved that interview. Dave is an incredible guy. That was freaking phenomenal. You know, there are a couple things I want to pull out of the interview that I'd really like to talk about. One of them being sleep, because Dave mentioned the importance of sleep. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't need sleep. I only need 4. In fact, I was speaking to someone yesterday, literally yesterday, who was on my coaching call for Cashflow to CEO. And she said, oh, well, I only need 4 hours of sleep.
Well, I would just say this. Almost every expert, guys like Martin Rooney, are proponents mm-hmm. of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I personally have never been a proponent of sleep, because my dad was never a proponent of sleep. He was like a 4 hour a night guy.
Mm.
And I thought that it just ran in the family that you don't need that much sleep. And I was wrong. But every once in a while, if you know, I sleep it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sleep it like a half a day sometimes just to kind of get my body. Yeah, to get caught up with it. Because when I'm preparing for a talk or something, I don't give myself that luxury. I'm getting ready for the audience.
I don't know. For me personally, I need my sleep. And I know that I function better and I can serve better when I get the right amount of sleep and I take care of my body. And I notice definitely a difference when I am well slept or not.
Slept or
slept. But I have to say, like, the dogs are going to continue to,
of course,
to go up.
They whine in the morning and you pop out of bed and they're, come on, okay, get your ass out of bed, bitch.
Charlie does the.
Oh, Lord.
I know. It's a classic. She can't talk, but she's Jewish.
She talks. She whines. I don't know. I don't know why she doesn't go to your side of the bed to get you out of
because
bed
I don't
to walk,
walk
her.
The dog.
Now, mind you, Dave did mention this, that he makes sure that the dogs stay out of the bed.
That's true.
Because
I know,
he can't sleep.
I know. They did wake you up last night when they walked all on top of you. It was sort of funny.
Yeah.
They just like walk on top of Jeffrey as if he's like
I'm
the
not
furniture.
There. Right. So, but, they want to say, so what's up?
But diehards, the question for you is, are you getting enough sleep? And what do you need to do to get more sleep? And so if you think you're not getting enough sleep, but you have to stay up so late to get so much stuff done and wake up so early, think about how much more productive you might be the next day if you got the proper amount of sleep.
So I'm going to throw something at you. Are you prepared to go to sleep? And not just brush your teeth or take your pills or whatever you do at night. I'm talking about, have you cleared your mind and put yourself in a positive frame of mind, positive mindset, so that you can easily fall asleep? And that's the challenge. So if you read the Sales Bible, you know that I'm a person that writes down everything he needs to do the next day. I don't write it anymore. I text it to myself or I put it into some kind of Word thing. But the bottom line is I don't have to think about what I need to do tomorrow. It's already down.
Headspace, I know it's your favorite, Headspace with Andy has this new-ish sleep meditation, and I think it is amazing. So if you're looking for something to help you fall asleep, if you ever need that, the sleep meditation is great.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to it.
Don't worry. I'll put in my earplugs.
Yeah, thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, my AirPods. Anyway, so there was this amazing moment on that interview where I asked Dave a question about how did he get his woo. And because he was really, if you listen closely, he refers to the woo a lot, the mm-hmm. woo stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be an underlying theme throughout the interview. And I had no idea that
he was a wooer?
No, I had no idea that his response was going to be so chilling and so deep and so cool. And, you know, for anyone that questions the woo, you might want to take a listen again to this episode because it changed who he is and who he has been able to become.
I think that the woo is, first of all, I sort of joked at it at the very beginning. I said, yeah, I got my woo from Ric Flair. And we sort of passed over that. But anyhow, serendipity is God's way of remaining anonymous. And if you look at it from the perspective of nothing happens for no reason, Dave was not sitting next to that person on accident. There is no way on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I can go after story after story after story of people that I sat next to and there was a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Walter Putnam is probably the best example of the something happens for a reason. He was a complete stranger. We struck up a conversation, and we've been friends for 25 years.
And he's a great guy.
Yeah. He's also my financial planner,
mm-hmm.
or our financial planner, mm-hmm. I should say. And so I want to look at it from the perspective of who's your woo? Who did you sit next to? Who did you bump into? Who impacted your life on accident? And I will tell you that there are no accidents. Literally, there's no accident.
I agree. I totally agree.
We have a really good friend. His name is Mark Steinberg. And Steinberg called me one day from my column in the paper and said, meet me at the Marriott in Charlotte because I think we want to hire you. I'm like, okay. So I meet him for breakfast at the Marriott in Charlotte, and he has this little fold-over bag, like a cheesy-looking bag. And I said, what's that? He goes, it's my Wally bag. He said, I take it with me everywhere. It's the best traveling bag in the on the planet. And I said, doesn't really look that expensive. He goes, it's not. It's pretty cheap. I go, great, send me one. And he did. And I flew a million miles with that bag. Still yeah. use it.
And
it's a different one, but I, you know.
And he's become a lifelong friend for sure. Yeah. A
lifelong friend.
Yeah.
So there's nothing, if you pursue it, things will happen to you that you will be blessed for. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Dave was talking about was his relationship with Julius Erving and Warren Moon. But I want to go back to Julius Erving because he's from Philly and I'm from Philly. I did a seminar once in Phoenix with a guy who was in charge of a software company, black guy. And we were talking about Julius Erving because he was one of the slides in my deck. And he goes, hey, let me tell you about Julius Erving. I said, okay. He said, when I was 10 or 11 years old, we used to hang at the Spectrum, which is the place where the Sixers played. And we used to wait for players to come out and ask them for autographs. And two Boston Celtic guys came out, one of whom was JoJo White. I can't remember the other guy's name. And he said, we ran up to him and asked for the autograph, and they blew us off. And Julius was driving into the parking lot at the same time, came by me and said, hey, are you going to the game? And he said, no, I don't have anything. He said, well, hop in the car, come with me. So he goes in the car with this guy. Julius Erving made him ball boy, gave him jersey, gave him signed ball. He sat on courtside for the game. And after the game, he went up to Julius Erving and said, how do I thank you? And Julius Erving said, pass it on. Now think about that. Would you ever say pass it on to what you're doing? And by the way, this kid became CEO of a software company. I think that may have had some impact on his life about the pride that he had, the luck that he felt he had, which was another episode of serendipity. But the bottom line was, it showed you the character of Julius Erving. He didn't say, oh, it's my pleasure. Oh, it's nothing. No, don't worry about it. All's good. No, he said, pass it on. He had the foresight to see what this person might do if he grew up to be someone of significance. And I can tell you that this guy has passed it on ever since. So you think about what is impacting you, who is impacting you, and put that into your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dave Meltzer 101.
I love it. That's awesome.
So we got to go, but we got some stuff we got to talk about.
If you haven't yet gotten a copy of our books, make sure you go to Amazon.com and get the Sales Manifesto.
Just get a dozen or so.
Sales in a New York Minute. Make sure you pick those up.
On Wednesday, we have a Seller Die Extra. On Thursday, we have the great Aaron Peterson. Love that guy. He's going to give us what's new, what's hot, and what's not about sales training. So if you're looking to pick up a few sales tips or a sales trainer, looking to add a few wrinkles to your game, then you might want to give a listen. On Friday, it's the best of, my personal favorite episode, where we take the best of each week and give you just a little sneaky snack of each one so you can go back and listen to the whole thing like I recommend you listen to the Dave Meltzer thing 10 times. But it'll keep you motivated and inspired through the weekend. And as always, we will see you here on Monday for Live Motivation Monday.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to please get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hard. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard. And we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.